My name is Elise Gomez. I am 17 years old. Today is October 16, 2018. I'm speaking with Doris Debs, who is my mother. We are recording this interview in Miami, Florida. Doris Debs Gomez, do I have your permission to interview and record and conduct this interview?
Yes, you do.
Okay. Do you know the story of how Abuelo and Abuela came to Miami?
My parents?
Yes.
Okay, so my father, Pablo Debs, and my mother, Celia Morelo, were engaged to be married in Cuba. They were in their early 20s, I believe 22, 23 years old. And that's when the Cuban Revolution was at its infancy. It was in 1957 through 1958, and the entire island was in turmoil. Abuelo was working, or I believe he was working, and he was also attending university in Camagüey. And Abuela was working in the city hall of Camagüey, which they call, in Spanish, you call it a ayuntamiento. So she was one of the secretaries in city hall. And they were, during that time, there was so much political upheaval, and there was so much distrust that was being weaved into the Cuban culture, that some of Abuelo's friends actually turned his name in to some, the undercover, the underground, the rebels, as being an anti-rebel, and that he was working with the Cuban government, which at that time was Batista, and against the new revolutionaries, the rebels, which were Fidel Castro's and his Castristas. So the story is that my father's name was on a hit list, and he was set to be found and executed. So my father had an aunt and an uncle, Maria Herrera, Juana Maria's mother and father, that were already living here in Miami. They had actually been in Miami for like two or three years prior, because Herrera worked in restaurants and business and bars and all of that. So he had some business dealings here. So he was already living here. So she, through my father's aunt, he was able to expedite a travel visa to travel quickly within just a few days from Camagüey straight here to Miami, well, to Havana. And then the flights were from Havana to Miami. So then that's how he immigrated here. So it was actually right before the revolution was in its final set. It was like in 1958. And then probably I would say maybe like 6 to 8 months after was when Abuela Toni, your grandmother Celia Morelo, was also, my father had put in a waiver and a permission to have her travel here. And what happened was that he had to put on the visa that she was his wife. So she married by law in the court system in Camagüey. She married with a power of attorney, and one of my father's brothers, Miguel Debs, was the one who actually signed on behalf of my brother. So my mom, so they were actually married separated.
You mean your mother, your father?
My parents. My mother was in Camagüey and my father was here in Miami, which was funny. But anyway, they were married through via the power of attorney. And so then Abuela was able to travel here, and my father was able to claim her as his lawful wife, which indeed that's what she was. And then that was in 1958. And then, of course, we all know exactly what happened in 1959, and the rebels, Fidel Castro's army of rebels and terrorists, actually that's what they are, that's what they were able to triumph over the government. They overthrew the government, they overthrew They took over the capital and they declared pretty much anarchy and declared a state of communism. It wasn't completely known that it was going to be a state of communism, but we know that that was the end result. So unfortunately, they were never able to return back. And that's how all four of us were born here.
But I know you've told me stories of how Abuela came here, then she got pregnant, then went back, and then came here. Is that true?
Yes. My sister Maggie, who's the oldest, was the firstborn, and my parents were already living here, right? So your grandmother was pregnant with the Maggie, but she still had health insurance through the Asociación Clínica Española, because they were actually Cuban and also Spanish citizens, because her parents were from northern Spain, Galicia. So they had a current health insurance where I think they were only paying $2 a month for the health insurance. And so because of that, when she was 8 months pregnant, she traveled back to Cuba. The U.S. still had relations. The relations were cut off in 1961. So technically, there were still flights, and there were still somewhat of relations between the United States and Cuba. So Abuela Toni was able to fly back to Camagüey in her 8 month of pregnancy because she had her full insurance, so that she could deliver the child there, and it would be completely covered under the insurance. And that's indeed what happened. So she actually stayed in Camagüey. She went into labor. She gave birth to your oldest tia, Maggie. And then when Maggie was about a month and a half old, 40 to 50 days old, she returned back with her.
Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child?
That can't be a short answer. Okay, so my childhood was a lot of fun because we were four, right? Four siblings. Okay, so we were four kids, and with an age span of 6 years. There was a 6-year difference between my oldest sister Maggie and myself. So the four of us in between, a lot of fun. So we didn't have much. We grew up pretty poor, like all the Cuban immigrants did. We were all poor, but we were happy. Those were times where you could actually play outside in the streets, and we had kickball season, we had a hopscotch season, we had basketball on the street season, we had a running bases season, we had board games season, like Monopoly and Parcheesi and card games. We played farm in the backyards. We played stickball on the street. You named it, we played. So it was a beautiful childhood. We had a lot of fun growing up. We didn't have much, but we really didn't need much other than just family and Jesus, and we had each other.
Okay. Tell me about your siblings. Were you close with them?
Yes, because we were four, and in the span of just 6 years apart. So yeah, we were very close, and we played with each other. We really didn't need other kids to play with, although again, our neighborhood that we grew up with, we would just open our door across the, you know, and back then there was really very little crime. And we all just played in the streets, and it would be like 20 kids would gather. So probably of the four of us, I think when we were growing up, I was closest to I'm number four. I was closest to number three, which is your tia Elizabeth. And because we were very close in age, and her and I were very similar, we were quiet. We were very good students in school. We behaved very good in school. We all went to a little Catholic, the neighborhood Catholic school, Corpus Christi. Awesome, beautiful school. But Elizabeth and I were very close. We were very quiet. We loved to play board games. We loved to play cards. Whereas the older two siblings, which was my sister Maggie and my brother Pablo, were the rambunctious ones. They were the ones who were always fighting on the streets and pulling each other's hair and trying to punch each other. And you know, and there were more street brawls associated with them and not so much with Lisi and I. And it's funny now, because now that once we became adults, then I became closest with my brother, who's the number two.
Okay. So what was your relationship like with your parents?
Well, we had, I guess it's about just a normal relationship that you can have with your parents. They were very authoritative. You know, back then your parents ruled, and the parents ruled, and there was a lot of respect. So whatever, you know, mom and dad said is what occurred. You know, we were not spoiled. We were taught manners. We were taught respect. So, yeah, did we fear them? Of course we feared them. You know, abuela would chase us with a broomstick. Mostly my brother Pablo and my sister Maggie, she would chase them with a broomstick and try to whack them on the head with a broomstick. And not Lisi and I, because we were really well behaved. But, you know, there was a lot of respect. And, you know, there was also a lot of love. It was just a simpler life. We would watch TV together. With Abuela Toni, when we got a little bit older, we would actually watch some of the Spanish novelas together, which was fun. That's what we did. And with my father, he loved the American movies and American TV shows, and that's what we would watch with him, which would be the, you know, the funny movies and the TV shows. So, and then we attended all the events at Corpus Christi, and we went to Mass on Sundays, probably not every Sunday, but most Sundays. My mother was more religious than my father, and which was kind of funny, because I always heard when they were growing up that my father was very, very religious, much more so than my mother. They also both went through Catholic schools their whole life. So yeah, that was a little bit about how our life was like.
How was it like growing up without a father?
Well, I had him until the age of 15, 15 and a half, and then he died. He had one heart attack, and then 6 months later, he had a second heart attack, and he had open heart surgery, and on his sixth day of open heart surgery, he died in the hospital. He was only 49 years old. I was only 15 and a half, and that was really hard because, like I said, we didn't have much money, and it was very much a patriarchal pattern in our family. So he was the major breadwinner. And of course, at that age, you don't expect to die so young. And being immigrants, we did, you know, it's not like we had a lot of assets and money in the bank and pension plans and, you know, all of that stuff. So it was, not only was it emotionally devastating, but it was also financially devastating, because then we had really our main breadwinner was no longer in the house. So it was very scary. So both of my sisters had already married. My sister Lisi had just gotten married. Maggie had already been married for a few years. So it was just my brother and I. And at the age of 15 and a half, I had to go get my first job because we had no money. So yeah, my brother was working two jobs, sometimes three jobs, and trying to attend his classes at Miami-Dade. And I was in high school, a sophomore in high school. I was a year ahead. So I was a sophomore in high school, and I had to work part-time and still try and maintain top of my class, which I did. And it was not easy. Yep. We had a property, then we had to sell our house, and we had to move into a much smaller house, and then we moved into a little condo, a two-bedroom condo, because we just had to keep cutting expenses and expenses and expenses so that we could have something that, you know, the three of us, Abuela Toni, my brother, and myself, the three of us could afford.
Tell me the story of how you met Papa.
We were in school. We were in the nursing program in Jackson Memorial Hospital that was affiliated with Miami-Dade Community College and the University of Miami for your bachelor's in nursing. And we met there in nursing school. We were in the same class, and our class was a group of over 100. I believe it was like 110, 120 students. And we actually didn't end up in a clinical group together until in our second year. And the clinical groups were groups of 10. So there was probably like 12 clinical groups. So, you know, the odds were that you really, you know, we were in class together, but we weren't really close friends until we landed in a clinical group together. And so then we became very close friends, him with myself, and then my best friend growing up since the age of 5, Gladys, that you know. And the three of us were just best buddies throughout all of the rest of nursing school, all our clinicals, our homework, our going out. And so the friendship just continued, and then it developed into more of a love interest.
Tell me about the day I was born. How did you feel the first time you saw me, and how did you feel when you held me for the first time?
You were my little pipinita. You were so little. You weighed under 5 pounds. You were so little. Everything was tiny. You had this tiny little button nose. You had the littlest lips I had ever seen in my life, little teeny little Caucasian lips. You had these bubbly little fingers. You were just so small. But you were spunky. So even though you had to go to the newborn intermediate care because of your weight, you were only there for 2 days. And they were expecting you to be there at least maybe 7 to 10 days. And on the second day, I said, I'm taking my little baby home. Because you had a lot of spunk and you were a good eater. But yeah, it was probably the happiest day of my life. One of my happiest days of my life. I'm your brother.
Can you tell me about one of your happiest memories with me?
With you? Oh God, we've had so many. I think there's been so many. I mean, you had beautiful birthday parties where we had so much fun. But I think that day in eighth grade, you were chosen as the, you received the top prize, the trophy.
Oh, for sports.
The scholar athlete, the top scholar athlete in your class in eighth grade in St. John Newman. And we attended a banquet together, and that was totally by surprise. I mean, your coach called me 2 days before and to tell me that you had been nominated, that you won, that there was this big ceremony, that it was a whole big county event. And so you and I went to this banquet, and it was beautiful to see all these young ladies that were all scholar athletes from all different Catholic schools all over the county. And you were getting this award, and I thought that was such a special day because it was so surprising, and it was a very happy, happy memory.
When me and Matthew were growing up, Matthew, my brother, did we like get along, or like how was our relationship?
Oh, of course. Oh my God, you and Matthew were so good. I always say that. I say it a million times. But you and Matthew were easy babies. Easy. You were just always pleasant, smiling. Both of you played a lot together. I think Matthew had a very easygoing personality as a boy. Now not so much, but he did when he was younger. So it was easy because he played a lot with you, and he also was protective and he would take care of you. But both of you played really well together. You played outside, you played in the swimming pool, and you were laughing, you would watch cartoons together, you would just easy. I don't remember either of you actually ever fighting.
Can you share some advice that you wish you would have followed when you were my age?
Ay, ay, ay. Okay. Well, I think a lot of the advice you're already following, which is always to maintain your grades. You know, that was always ingrained in us. It was like, you know, education, 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 very important. And, you know, you make sure you do your best and make sure you're a respectful person. Make sure you're well-mannered. Make sure you treat everyone with respect, and you make sure you make friends with everybody. I've always told you that You make friends with everyone. I don't want you to be cliquey. I don't want you to think, oh, because this girl does that or that girl does that. No, you never want to make anyone feel sad about anything that's coming out of your mouth, any words, any ugly words, whether you mean them or not, or you're not even sure that they're not going to come out right. You always just want to make sure that everyone around you feels happy and that you make very close friends. That's important. Your education's important. I think you're living out a lot of things that I didn't get to do too much in high school because I was working. I told you I had to work part-time. So I didn't get to do a lot of the extracurricular activities centered around Archbishop Curley. I didn't get to go to a lot of the football games, we didn't have a lot of girl sports back then. But we had a lot of the boy sports, but I didn't have an opportunity to attend a lot of the boy sports activities and extracurricular because I had responsibilities at home. But I'm glad that and you have taken advantage of all of St. Brendan's has had to offer. And sometimes even I've pushed you to even do more because it's a beautiful time in your life and you're only going to be 17, 16, 18, only once in your life. And I just want you to have fun and enjoy all the experiences that you can get at St. Brendan's educationally, academically, and also spiritually.
So last question, what is your best advice for raising kids?
Best advice for raising kids would be, don't sweat the small stuff. Be consistent with your discipline. You can't change the rules in the house on a day-to-day basis or by this situation. The rules should be set. They should be well communicated. Respect should always be adhered to. Manners should always be adhered to. And those are some criteria in your home that should never waver. So don't let your children ever be disrespectful or bad mannered in front of the public or in your home. And let them know that that's just not tolerated, period, the end. And be consistent about it. Make sure that you shower them with a lot of love. Make sure you take them to Mass every Sunday, even if I'm not around. You maintain your Catholicism. You take your little babies to Mass. You make sure they follow through on all their sacraments. That's also not non-negotiable. Those are non-negotiable items. And just make sure that there's a lot of love, comfort, safety. Make sure you maintain a schedule. You have to have fun, but at the same time, kids need their nourishment. They need to be, to be at bed at a certain time of day, consistently every night, so that they have they're well rested every day. So that involves a little bit of discipline in your part. You know, when you have little kids at home, you and your husband are young. You want to go out. You want to go out with your friends. You want to go to a party. You want to be out until 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. But you can't have, your little kids scattered around somewhere and picking them up at 1 o'clock in the morning from whoever's your babysitter and putting them to bed that time because, you want to party. No, you have to be able to find a balance where you can still put your kids to sleep at their regular time and make sure you have their regular schedule. And then you also can find some alone adult time and fun time with your husband. You have to be able to balance the two so that, the kids grow up healthy and they know that there's certain things that are expected when the couple has to continuously keep growing in their love and in their faith. And the children have to also maintain safety and know that they're secure in their home.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Good. Why are you running?